Well, good evening, everyone. Nice to see you out and about on this rainy night. Glad you got home, Tracy. Holly was on her way here, too, so I caught her before she got started. So, here we are, though. Isn't it nice to have the opportunity to be online when we can't sit together at our in-person places? And welcome to all of you in San Antonio at the Quaker House. Glad to see you. Glad to be with you. Well, tonight's lessons is going to be, it's connected to the last, kind of last series of things we talked about that helps us to sustain our practice. And it's the one that says, drop the story and find the feeling. Drop the story and find the feeling. Now, if there's a story going on, we know it's going on in the head. And if we can find the felt sensations in our body, then we take it out of the story and we directly experience it 100% in a body. So we begin to realize how precious it is to live with the sense of the whole body. It's much more compelling, but again, we have to find that out for ourselves, and we find that out by within our practice. Let's do a Tejaneya quote. He says, to take refuge in Dharma, which is the truth, is to take refuge in our very nature. This transitory existence in a human form. This is our reality in the vehicle by which we can open and awaken to ourselves. Isn't it beautiful? This transitory existence in a human form. I didn't even realize all that was going on within until I found out how to see such phenomena. And so tonight I'm going to explain how asking meditation questions are the tool of inquiry is a way to guide our life and practice. And, you know, we have a variety of tools. I think somebody said the Buddha has 83,000 of them. I haven't ever counted them. But the secret about the tools is that it depends, because life is so diverse and we are living life like this, we can pick and choose what will help us through any situation. And inquiry, asking meditative questions like Randy modeled for us a few minutes ago, is most effective. And it's a way to guide our life and our practice. And we use the acronym RAIN, recognize, allow, investigate, all three that nurture us in the process. And we can use that not only in our formal meditation, but we're going to talk about how that can be used in in our daily lives. And that curiosity, I think Tracy mentioned it last week, the curiosity, once we become curious about ourselves, we become more curious. Oh, that's interesting. What else can I find out about myself? And that interest keeps it light. Whereas maybe before, it's like, oh, I don't want to know this about myself. Why? Because I don't know what to do with the anger. So I want to push it away. Or I don't know what to do with the fear. And so that's what the practice does. It teaches us how to live with it all of it. We no longer have to run from ourselves. And we have a natural inclination towards investigation, a curiosity. And a curiosity in a deep sense of what's going on within us, something maybe we've not explored before. So investigation can be used on the run, so to speak. What do you mean on the run? I mean in daily life, in the busyness of life. We know that the brain doesn't hold the answer to our lives, but we can learn to let the right question arise for us. It's the tool of inquiry. It's talking to ourselves. It's creating reflection within ourselves. And so there are right questions and wise questions and meditative questions that bring us to a depth of silence, even in our busy day. Now, let me say that again, because that's the point of this lesson. Is this inquiry, if we know how to do it correctly, and there's a correct way to do it, brings us to the depth of silence, even as we are in a busy environment. So again, we can see this for ourselves. Is this true? Can these beautiful questions about what is happening to me, in me right now, and a variety of others, does that question take us to silence, to a deep silence within us that is unlike what's going on outside of us? Well, that's for each of us to find out. So, because it doesn't sound right, does it? And so with that practice, we are allowing for an authentic responsiveness of the heart. It automatically, quite naturally, takes us to our heart. Otherwise, we're fabricating, making up things in our minds. So that's how it's done. The meditative questions naturally calms our mind. In formal meditation, we calm our minds with stillness and following the breath. And we begin to look at the true nature of things as they are, which leads to greater understanding. But now this tool is something that could be helpful during our day, during our busy day. And it's a beautiful practice. Achan Cha says, the great Thai monk, says, a hen can sit on her nest all day long. And that's what we're practicing. We're practicing being quiet and still and really having a direct experience experiences of what it feels like to be still and in a quiet mind, because our perspective naturally shifts. But as Ah Chan Cha says, don't let it stop there. Because we can get stuck there. We can say, this just feels good. I'm going to use this to be calm. And it's fine. You can. But there's so much more. And how do we get to the so much more? Well, this is just one more example that we can use to see if it works for us. So to investigate is to contemplate with a silent mind, even in the middle of activity, if we had practiced with the inquiry tool of questions. The pause to ask a question is to acknowledge that which is cloudy or confused. The universe knows your intent. And, you know, I've said this to you before. This is hard for the mind to understand. But if our intent is to wake up, there is so much support in a variety of different ways that come to us. But the pause to ask a question is to acknowledge that which is cloudy or confused. We're asking for it. To explore and to discover what we have not yet noticed or understood. And why is that important? Well, it wakes us up. It points us to more ease of living. So, inquiry provides us with tools to free the mind, because we know how we are in the busy world if we rely on the mind to, you know, only be our point of perspective. Then the mind's going to do with it whatever the mind wants to do with it. But what if we did the sacred pause? And we know that that automatically kicks in if we practice. And so if we do have this sacred pause, then what if we did say, what's happening within me right now? What's my attitude right now? What's happening in this present moment? We have to see for ourselves. Does it work? Freeing the mind from suffering is the point of the practice. That's what we're trying to do, is understand the nature of the mind where it doesn't control us. It isn't the boss. We are. We manage the mind. If we know how, but we have to know the nature of the mind. So looking into life as we generally live it, carefully we're examining our habits and our patterns. But we're doing it in a friendly way, not in a judgmental way. And it encourages us to examine in a whole different way. If we bring that to our practice. So we're carrying this information, all kinds of information about ourselves in life with us all day long, hourly, daily, weekly. A whole lifetime that we're carrying all this, whatever it is, mountains of verbiage, of words, of that we've become attached to, And we begin to discover, what if it's dropped? What if we shift? What will happen? So we can inquire within the busyness of our daily lives and continue going deeper with the silence and stillness of our formal meditation. So what's happening inside of me right now? What is my attitude of mind at this moment? See the sacred pause? Question comes in. Set the intention that you really want to know. And then something happens. There's a natural calmness. And so we are no longer left to the mercy of the mind in all of this activity. And especially when it's overwhelming, especially when it has all these emotional tones that we've been noticing about ourselves. But it's how we question. Again, these tools are important, but there's a way to do them. There's a way to apply them. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels. Because they've been tried or true. They've gone through the scientific process of working for over 2,600 years. So we question ourselves with humility, gentleness, honesty, sincerity. Can I accept what's happening in this present moment? Can I accept this too? In questioning is part of the Buddha's injunction to practice what you've heard, the Pali word ihipasiko, a Pali word that means come and see for yourself, because none of this is of value to us until we experience it ourselves. They're just words, wise words, but even wise words cannot stand in for experience. So a meditative questioning is one way to understand for ourselves how to build a greater sense of self-confidence and self-trust. See how we begin to trust ourselves. Wow, well, we're relying more on ourselves. We're not relying on this phenomena of mind and emotions to decide how we're going to live our lives. We're transitioning from that, which caused most of our suffering. We're asking open-hearted questions, and then this is the point. This is a big one. And then letting it be. We begin to learn to know for ourselves what brings about freedom within us and what doesn't. And it's very personal. It's very personal. I can't do it for you. You cannot do it for me. We cannot do it for anyone else. We really, there's an aloneness in this whole practice in that way. Yeah, we feel the Sangha. But you're not going to be there when I'm dying, okay? So I am going to be with what has been given to me. And how I have responded and worked with it and gotten to know it sincerely before I die. And so we're encouraged to test the teachings out so they become our own. And a doubting mind, you're saying, well, wait. You know, we're not supposed to, our doubting mind, we're supposed to look at closely. Well, this is not a doubting mind. Remember, we're going back to intention. A doubting mind goes to an emotional state of where we're saying, oh, I can't do this. Oh, it's too hard. It's too scary. Takes too much time. Aren't I a good whiner? I'm such a good whiner. So the deep inquiry doesn't mean constantly questioning ourselves. That's not what it means. Or obsessing or running after thoughts. It's a bona fide meditative way. That doesn't, now this is important part too, that doesn't demand an answer. What? Gets crazier. We're not looking for an answer. We're releasing. We are being. We are floating in the here and now when we're asking these questions. And questioning in a meditative way doesn't demand an answer. So, how can we best? Well, by acceptance. If we use this tool, learn how to use it. And then practice it. And in the process, we're relinquishing our preconceptions about how things should be. It's a whole nother way to live. So let's say we know that we open to, when this sacred pause comes, with humility, gentleness, honesty, sincerity. And it won't work if we want something out of it. It's a releasing. It's a way of letting it be. And so we cultivate an attitude of non-grasping and non-attachment. And questioning and inquiry is a tool we use in order to explore the unknown. And there's so much that we don't know about ourselves intimately. So to do this, we need the qualities of what Achanasamedho calls affectionate curiosity. See all the traps we could get ourselves in trying to practice this beautiful tool. So there is a way where it works, and I'm going to stop there. Thank you for being such good listeners, and Randy's going to come up, and you know what's next. It goes out to you. Thank you.